You just don't get it, do you?
We're in a lot of trouble!
Happy Friday, everybody. It is July 21st, 2023. Welcome to the podcast. So AI continues its job displacement as it enters the newsroom and the arena of journalism. It will soon bleed out of the artistic fields and into administrative fields, hollowing out the majority of occupations, except perhaps for the expert service industry. That'll take robots. Also, in Temecula, California, the school board there rejected curriculum with the mention of Harvey Milk, the pederast. Or is it pederast? I believe the term is pederast, which means it's a man that likes to have sex with boys. So the school board there wanted to remove several paragraphs, mentions of Harvey Milk. And Harvey Milk is mandated by the state to be included in school curriculum. So the state of California turned and fined the district there $1.5 million for excluding Harvey Milk, the pederast, from the curriculum in the school there. I'll also get into the film release of Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. I'll talk a little bit about what the Great Awakenings in history are. And I'll talk a little bit about my awakening, where I really became awakened to the conspiracy, the global conspiracy. I could say the conspiracy of globalization, really. But I won't digress there. So let's just get into the news. Talk about these stories and more. But don't forget to engage the channel. Leave a comment, like, subscribe. Follow me on social media. So let's get into these stories and more right now. So I'm going to start with the release of Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. I don't know if you guys have seen the Plandemic series of movies, really based around the lies told about the gain of function research, the release of a manufactured virus. Obviously, there were a lot of motives behind the release of this virus. And then the subsequent Great Reset, school closures, lockdowns, the insanity that followed the release of this manufactured cold virus. Basically, the coronavirus is a third of all cold viruses. So I'm not going to get too much more into that. I'm just going to talk a little bit about this movie. I watched it. It's a lengthy documentary, which basically follows, none dare call it conspiracy narrative, which is that, well, you have to understand communism, socialism, the push. I mean, he gets all into Marxism. And I guess the maker of these films finally got around to listening to Edward G. Griffin and him talk about the insidious nature of the ideology known as socialism, Marxism, communism, and how it's really at the root of what the merchant class, now the corporate class, the political class, you could talk about what they want to do, their agenda, so forth and so on. And it gets into the WEF and all these other things. I'm not going to digress too much into the movie. I think all of you should watch it, just because it's historically accurate. But I want to talk a little bit about what the Great Awakening is. Everybody talks about the Great Awakening, and it's some sort of revelation or, you know, some sort of enlightened form of thinking. It's really just basically whether you read or not and whether you can put all the puzzle pieces together to form a good worldview. But the Great Awakening, the term is really in reference to religious awakening, which this fourth Great Awakening might very well be. So the Great Awakening refers, this is from Wikipedia, the Great Awakening refers to a number of periods of religious revival in American Christian history. Historians and theologians identify three or sometimes four waves of increased religious enthusiasm between the early 18th century and the late 20th century. Each of these Great Awakenings was characterized by a widespread revivals led by evangelical Protestant ministers, a sharp increase of interest in religion, a profound sense of conviction and redemption on the part of those affected, an increase in evangelical church membership, and the formation of new religious movements and denominations. The first Great Awakening is between 1730 and lasted till about 1740. Second Great Awakening, sometimes known simply as the Great Awakening, was a revival in the late 18th century, which is the late 1700s. And mostly in the Northeast and Midwest, and then you had Mormonism at the same time come out of that. The Third Great Awakening between 1850 and 1900s was characterized by new denominations, active missionary work, and the social gospel approach to social issues. The YMCA, founded in 1844, and played a major role in fostering these revivals. And the Fourth Great Awakening is debatable. Some say this is the Fourth Great Awakening. Is a debated concept that has not received the acceptance of the first three advocates, such as the economist Robert Fogel said it happened to between 1960 and the early 1970s. The Jesus movement is cited as evidence of this awakening. May or may not be. But that's what the Great Awakenings are. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about what my Great Awakening was. And it sort of started... I'll get into it because of what happened with people in the street, particularly in America. Now, it's hard to get a lot of people in the street, and people often, you know, use derogatory comments for activists coming out in the street. But when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, it was sort of unheard of. Now, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace has a global protest tracker, and it talks about all the different protests around the world and what they mean, motivations, and it lists the motivations and their durations and the size of the protests. And you should check that out. I mean, it just shows here, but I'm going to get into some in America, in Canada, Ontario Worker, in the United States, 2023 Tennessee gun reform protests. In 2022, the Ontario government invoked notwithstanding clause of Canadians' constitution to force education workers not to strike. But they don't have the trucker protest here in the Carnegie Endowment for an International Peace. Wonder why that is. And then you have people like BBC say, do today's global protests have anything in common? And what they list here is inequality, of course. But as you would see in the Carnegie Endowment, one of the overall causes were in these protests were corruption. Corruption is listed almost in every protest. Now, also, the BBC lists corruption here, but then they get into other things like political freedom, which obviously is important, but climate change, you know, and that's the thing is they're trying to dissuade you from what protests are really about. Did the Carnegie Endowment list the election protests in DC or maybe in Brazil? Did they list them there? No, those weren't listed there. I want to talk a little bit about, here's Wikipedia, anti-globalization movement, and it talks about the anti-globalization movement. Participants based their criticisms on a number of related ideas, what is shared in the participants opposed. Large multinational corporations having unregulated political power exercised through trade agreements and deregulated financial markets, specifically corporations, are accused of seeking to maximize profits at the expense of work safety conditions and standards, labor hiring and compensation standards, environmental conservation principles, and the integrity of national legislative authority. The integrity of national legislative authority, independence, and sovereignty. Really? National independence and sovereignty. Some commenters have variously characterized changes in global economy as turbo capitalism, market fundamentalism. But what I concentrate here is national legislative authority, the integrity thereof, and independence and sovereignty. Why would that be a problem? I thought if you're for democracy, why would you be supporting multinational corporations have unregulated political power that undermine the integrity of national legislative authority, which is democracy, independence, and sovereignty? So this obviously came into being. How did I discover this? Well, in 1999, I saw buried in news reports the 1999 Seattle WTO protest. Now, what is the WTO? Well, it's the World Trade Organization. So I was thinking at the time, I was still asleep, well, isn't that a good thing? It's a World Trade Organization that fosters trade. Well, the 1999 Seattle World Trade Organization protests, sometimes referred to as the Battle of Seattle, were a series of protests surrounding the WTO ministerial conference of 1999 when members of the WTO convened in Washington State Convention and Trade Center in Seattle, Washington on November 30th of that year. The conference was to be launched a new millennial round of trade negotiations. The negotiations quickly were overshadowed by massive street protests outside the hotels of the Washington State Convention Trade Center. The large scale of the demonstrations estimated no fewer than 40,000 protesters, dwarfed by any previous demonstration in the United States against World Meeting or any organization generally associated with economic globalization, such as the WTO and the IMF and the World Bank. No fewer than 40,000. Now, that's pretty significant for an anti-global demonstration. And the fact that it was buried in the media gave me pause. And so I started looking into global organizations and what global organizations were doing. Up until then, there weren't very many large protests of that size. The only one was the Million Man March, organized by Louis Farrakhan, where approximately 700,000 to 800,000 black men marched on Washington, D.C. Against inequality at Al. And although I'm not promoting Louis Farrakhan per se, that's outstanding. Any organization that can get millions or hundreds of thousands of people in the street is worth taking note. And at the time, the 1999 Seattle WTO press were significant. Tens of thousands, at the very least, 40,000, some say 60 to 80,000, to protest globalization. So that gave me pause and started to wake me up on what the real threats to your individual freedom, which I always supported, and that's why I was a liberal at the time, because I was always against the corporate oligarchy. And then when I found out that it was actually the corporate oligarchy and the Federation of Banks, a World Bank and other financial instruments, and then I started reading things like Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which really blew my eyes wide open, that saw that the international global instruments like the UN and other, and the World Bank and the World Bank of International Settlements were actually a tool of the conspiracy of corporations to take over the world. And then I found out about communism and how that played in the overall scheme. So enough about my awakening there to the global conspiracy of corporate power and other elitist organizations, which actually promote exclusivity, not inclusivity. If you open your eyes, you would know that. But they talk about inclusivity in a way to exclude people and people of differing political opinion. So the Washington Post reports, Google pitches media outlets on AI that could help produce news. Slash Gear, Google's news writing genesis, AI has journalists worried. Why would that be? And already when I was still in journalism, they were using computer-generated stories for things like weather and short blurbs to get out in minutes rather than waiting for a reporter to type up something short, which could take, you know, up to 15 minutes. Gizmo China reports Google Genesis AI tool, the future or the end of journalism. The New York Times reports, of course, Google tests AI tool that is able to write news articles. Very interesting. The product pitched as a helpmate for journalists has been demonstrated for executives of the New York Times, the Washington Post, and News Corp, which owns the Wall Street Journal. Oh, do you think that's going to displace jobs? I don't know. Perhaps. That's the whole reason it was invented. They act like they invent this technology, and then they're like, hey, look what it can do. That's interesting. That's not it. AI, robotics, was all invented to displace human worth, human jobs, and careers. Because corporations and business, they care about the bottom line. The beast of corporations, the corporate authoritative state is the beast, the new beast that came out of the sea, the East India Company, the first corporation. It doesn't have a soul, the beast. So all it cares about is increasing profits for the shareholders, stakeholders, and it doesn't care much about workers. They would like to displace workers if they don't have to pay them. That increases the bottom line for the investor. So Reuters, the headline there is Google explores AI tools for journalists in talks with publishers. That doesn't seem very threatening, does it? Meanwhile, they're talking the whole strike in California and Hollywood about the writer's strike, which the actors joined, was all about AI displacing script writers. And as far as the actors are concerned, CGI replacing extras there in Hollywood. So Vanity Fair writes the headline, Google's new AI tool may put newsrooms in a bind. Several top news executives were reportedly disturbed by a demonstration of the company's new AI article writing tool, but will they ultimately be able to resist the technology as outlets like GO and the AP are already using it? That's true. It's AP has been using computer-generated stories for almost a decade. I mean, we were using it, like I said, in the newsroom when I was still in journalism. And CNN reports Google is building an AI tool for journalists. Oh, they are, huh? And Mashable reports Google is reportedly developing a journalism AI. I think they are. So moving on to the next stories here. Southern California School Board rejects curriculum that mentions Harvey Milk. The controversy centered around a 3-paragraph mention of the gay rights figure in supplemental materials. That's NBC. Now, I just want to explain, and this is from The Guardian, school board president faces backlash for calling Harvey Milk a pedophile. Joseph Komrosky of the Temecula, California board objected to Milk being included in the school materials when making claim. What claim is that, they say? Well, there is an op-ed in HuffPost that I went over about a guy, because there's Harvey Milk Day in California, and this guy was railing against Harvey Milk. Why? And it wasn't just adult men with whom Milk had sex. Milk was also fond of teenage boys. In fact, one of his live-in relationships was a pederastic relationship with a 16-year-old boy when Milk was 33. So that appears to be a fact. So Milk was a pederast, and the age of consent in America for sex is still 18. So children, although in other cultures and even in Europe, the age of consent may be lower, but there's some people that don't feel that somebody who is considered a pedophile, or at the very least a pederast, is having sex with underage children. You know, it's not the case where it's an 18-year-old having sex with a 16-year-old, but here you have a 33-year-old man having a live-in boyfriend who is 16. That's another thing entirely. And so you could understand why someone would want to exclude that person from educational material in the school, because it's not the fact that he was a homosexual, it's the fact that he was a pedophile. And why would you want to include material that promotes a man who is having sex with underage boys? But then California, led by Gavin Newsom, California defines school district $1.5 million for rejecting materials mentioning Harvey Milk. The governor announced the penalty less than 24 hours after a nearly six-hour school board meeting that dissolved into shouts and jeers multiple times. A short biography of gay rights leader Harvey Milk. I'm sure this other NBC article does not mention the fact that Milk had a live-in boyfriend who was 16. It doesn't. Komorowski, the board president, called Milk a pedophile, while dozens of attendees, many from outside the school district, delivered impassioned speeches against teaching anything that refers to sex or homosexuality to elementary school-aged children. And we are talking elementary school. We're not talking about high school. Yeah, they don't mention anything about evidence of him actually being a pedophile. So moving into other news, breaking, this is from Red State Breaking. This is, I think, a day ago already. It's kind of old. Senator Chuck Grassley releases unclassified FBI FD 1023 alleging Joe Biden engaged in criminal bribery scheme. Apparently, the FBI was already aware that when Joe Biden was vice president, that he was taking money from foreign entities for who knows what. In other news, CNN, Ukraine has started using U.S.-provided cluster munitions in combat, and they talk about the minefields. But they don't mention minefields. They talk about the cluster munitions were primarily to help alleviate potential shortage of ammunition. Where does it say it? Appropriate places. I believe they did. They said they were using it against Russian defensive positions, but they don't mention. Yes, they are using them effectively, as they are actually having an impact on Russia's defensive formations and Russia's defensive maneuvering. But they don't talk about minefields. That's the whole purpose of the cluster munitions. Is to use against minefields. That's where they're the most effective. But they don't even talk about that. The USNI News says U.S. sending Marines more warships to Middle East over Iranian threats. They're getting ready to launch an all-out world war. We already have troops in Syria. We're getting ready. We're saber-rattling against Iran and China. And so it's going to come sooner than people think. Bloomberg reports poll finds 16% would consider backing Joe Manchin on a third-party ticket. The political field is becoming more and more complicated. There is a MAGA contingent that is unwavering, which is more than half of the country. The other part of the electorate is undecided whether or not to back Joe Biden or third party or other candidates. And Town Hall is reporting there's a big poll movement in the GOP primary. Vivek Ramaswamy has moved to number two. Sorry, all the people that were pushing Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who I like as Florida governor, but the fact is coming out with backings of the Republican establishment that can't be trusted, and probably some Democratic donors as well, and pushing all these things that aren't MAGA. If Ron DeSantis wanted to back Trump and stay MAGA and said, well, if Trump is for some reason disqualified or unable to run, I will jump in the race. That's what people were thinking, and that's why he was getting overwhelming support. But then when the conservative part of the deep state started backing him with all this dark money, including what I believe is some people in the DNC, his poll numbers started falling, especially when he wavered on the war in Ukraine. Just like Tucker Carlson said about Mike Pence. You want to support war that nobody, the American electorate is strictly anti-establishment, anti-war. So if you have an anti-establishment, anti-war stance, you will get popular support in the electorate. So Vivek Ramaswamy is basically being the Trump booster. He's obviously angling for a position in a cabinet position or possibly on the ticket, which would be great with Trump. And the fact is that what he's doing is what Ron DeSantis should have done. I'm here to back Trump. I'm running for president on a MAGA platform. I'm here. If Trump doesn't get disqualified, I'm here. And that's what Ron DeSantis should have done, but didn't do. So Vivek Ramaswamy is taking that tack, and that's why he's number three. Showbiz 411 is crowdfunded Christian movie Sound of Freedom hits $100 million, tops Mission Impossible Wednesday. Star calls Trump a new Moses on Fox. We don't have to go into the story. I reported yesterday that they had been at 81 million, topped 81 million. Now they topped 100 million. Can you call it a blockbuster? No. But I'm telling you is that over half the country is MAGA, and for good reason. And strictly anti-establishment. It's what I showed you in all the protests, around the world, including the protests here in the United States. What's the number one concern? Corruption. Who do we have as president of the United States right now? One of the most corrupt politicians that ever served. And you wonder why that there were hundreds of thousands of people in Washington on January 6th. I mean, come on. I mean, people, the Great Awakening, people have to wake up to what the frig is going on. People don't really understand. And folks don't understand. And I hate to keep bringing that phrase up. It's like people have a problem with overstanding. Is you have to put all the intellectual puzzle pieces together to get a clear picture of what's happening. The people, the majority of people who are a middle class or poor in the world, your political power is being eroded. And in democracies where you have constitutional protections for the individual's political power, free speech, a justice system that favors equality, it was uncorrupted. Those are the places, you know, obviously if you have the power to defend yourself, the power of free speech, the power to protest and to address a series of grievances, that's political power for the individual, where you could stand on a street corner or in front of the White House with a sign that says Joe Biden is corrupt or what have you, or go on the internet and be able to voice your opposition to corporate market cornering, whether it's vaccines or what have you. You know, the corporate structure has to be able to be challenged. And the problem is with the fascism the way it is, it's corporate fascism. It is the corporate capture of the political process that people are fighting against. It's big business, the son of the beast that rose out of the ocean with the East India Company, the first corporation that captured the political process, captured democracy away from the people who have the political power in the majority of balloting. So you have to understand, and the only people that that deserve to cast a ballot are the people that are politically astute. Because if you are easily manipulated by what you see on CNN and the calls of racism from MSNBC, you're being duped. You're on the side of corporate political power.
Dummy. Dummies.
The political, the corporate oligarchy is what is in danger because they control the administrative state, the deep state, the bureaucratic state. So Gallup poll finds that belief in five spiritual entities edges down to new lows. They say that the percentage of Americans who believe in each of five religious entities, gods, angels, heaven, hell, and the devil have edged downward 3 to 5 percentage points from 2016. Still, majority believes in each, ranging from 75% believing in God. Well, that's good. To the lows of 59% of hell. And it's the whole thing is a lot of people believe in a higher spiritual power, less for angels, heaven, hell, especially hell, because that's a construct, and the devil. And the devil, you really have to delve into the esoteric, I'm not going to get into it here, the esoteric texts and the seven emanations. You have to read Blavatsky and understand where all the esoteric religious texts come from and the higher power and where that, you know, if you can go all the way back to the beginning and find out where all these things in the spirit world, what angels are and spirit realms and different dimensions and all these things. But it's good to see that a lot of people believe in God. I know a lot of people that are probably watching this are secularists, you know, good for you. You can go watch Sam Harris videos all you want. That's not the truth. The truth is if you can get into particle physics, you can see that there's divine consciousness out there that's inexplicable. I'm not going to digress here because we need to get it. To get into more news, Washington Post judge rebukes Tucker Carlson QAnon shaman for alarming January 6th show. They thought the release of the video, the Capitol riot video of the this guy, the QAnon shaman walking around, assisted by security, Capitol Police, would get him out of jail. And the judge says, no, get back in fucking jail. It was just really, he was just a figurehead. And it's really unfortunate that this guy is in jail. It wasn't an armed insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection. All the things that they claim the riot was, it wasn't. Were there crimes committed? Yes. Was there an organized effort to overthrow the government? No. Was it armed? No. Were some G.I. Joe fanatics, some friggin' militant militia people that were, it was stupid to be there, Stuart Rhodes, you know, with any reference towards weaponry or to go there. I guess you could go there with your body armor. I mean, if you wanted. But trespassing is a crime. Vandalism is a crime. Obviously, assault is a crime. Where I believe people were goaded into doing so, sure. I mean, Ray Epps was there. There were other people that were there. First of all, there were a lot of young people that were Antifa-type ages who were dressed seemingly uncharacteristically in Trump MAGA gear who were there to cause trouble. You know, that's undeniable. And the New York Post, from the last story here, the New York Post, 27 hacked up bodies discovered in grisly scene in Mexico, just miles from U.S. border. Just evidence of the cartels, you know, they're holding fast to their human trafficking. You know, they smuggle people into the U.S., including children, among other people, for a number of different reasons, for espionage, for drug trafficking. So Biden and Mayorkas' policy at the border is criminal. And Biden is responsible for, you know, for those crimes. You know, if the border wasn't so porous, if Trump had his way, if the wall was finished, if there was more surveillance, if there was a no-cross policy, smuggled or otherwise, you know, any illegal immigration, if we were tough on that, none of this shit would happen, because you would take the teeth out of the human trafficking and out of the cartels, multi-billion dollar business of trafficking people across the U.S. border. And the U.S., unfortunately, is the biggest market for pedophilic content, whether you're a pederast or not. All right, so for me, Rudy's Revelation. Don't forget to like, subscribe. Check out my libpop.org website, Libertarian Populism. Find out a little bit about what Libertarian Populism is. If you like freedom, that's the avenue. Buy a t-shirt there if you're so inclined. But follow me, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Getter Binds, Rudy's Revelation. I'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
This is all a conspiracy. No, you know that it's a conspiracy there.
The New World Order.